You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of January 2013. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line is Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about the marketplace just a bit. In Chicago, things were mostly higher. Corn, soybeans, and wheat were all up for the day.
Yeah, a little bit more optimism. We saw a downdraft last week. We were able to hold some minor retracement levels and see some renewed buying interest, a little confirmation of some Asian business in the beans. Export inspections, a little bit better. We're shipping out what we sold. Shipped out 22 million bushels of wheat with the high end of expectations. Shipped out 21 million bushels of corn. That was above the range expectations. And we shipped out about 40 million bushels of beans. That's kind of at the upper end there. So countries are taking what they've bought. And also, too, we saw a little bit of a technical buying interest come into the corn market once we pushed above the downtrend lines. We did not move above last week's highs, the previous highs by all means, but sort of broke that downtrend line, generated a little bit of technical buying here throughout the day, Todd.
One of the things Steve Fried reminded us during Commodity Week and then at our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event, which, by the way, went really well on Friday evening, was that the corn market in Chicago likes exports, and there's nothing like exports to get the corn market a little bit excited there.
Yeah, when you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, the corn, you know, in proportion to the beans is a smaller percentage, but overall, it's sort of the cream of the crop. It helps keep that buying enthusiasm high when we see corn exports. But we're projected to, you know, be down quite a bit from a year ago, where sales are running 50-55% of a year ago. So, you know, we're in a position here where if we see some renewed export business, that it's going to be fairly positive to the marketplace, because right now most of the domestic demand is being used, of course, for feed and ethanol, of course. So when you come in here and add, you know, an extra 100 million bushels or 200 million bushels, you know, carryouts already at pipeline supplies, that's going to generate significant support on breaks in here, Todd.
Yeah, so we're looking fundamentally at, from USDA's point of view, a carry out for the last crop of about 602 million bushels for corn. That's pipeline, as you suggested. And when we're down below a billion for exports, I think, what, 950 million, if I remember correctly. That's a decades low, several decades at a low. Producers could keep themselves fairly positive in the marketplace, but that's for old crop. What do you see for new crop?
They tell two different crops. It's definitely night and day difference. We'll see what type of demand we see coming at us here as we move into this spring. But the thing on the new crop, from a mathematical point of view, if you put in acres unchanged, a little higher, put close to a trend line yield on it, and carry in that 600 million bushel carryout from last year, keep demand, we can raise demand a little bit. It suggests we're going to have significant supplies as long as that yield is at that higher end of expectation, which says that rallies in new crop corn are going to be limited here as we go into the growing season, unless we start to see some type of weather development take place in here to generate some buying interest in that back a month. At the present time, looking at sort of where we are with all the fundamentals and the technicals, I think producers are going to be willing sellers, or should be willing sellers, if we can move the market above the $6 benchmark.
So we're just a dime away, and you're talking about $6 December corn?
Well, correct. It'd be nice to have a cash bid above that area.
Oh, so now you're talking about something entirely
different. Yeah, but that's going to probably be a tough ox to come by. But right now, producers are wait and hold. This month's about gone, and we're going to be in February, and everybody likes to watch the price during February, especially on the insurance side of the equation.
Right. So I did have, and I forget who told me during Commodity Week. I think it was Fried. That the expectation, maybe I shouldn't say that. I just don't remember who told me this, but the expectation for the crop insurance price setting month could be as high as $6.20. What do you think?
Well, that'd be a heck of a rally. We're sitting here $5.90 to average six Yeah. Might want to go long the market here and try to capture a little bit of that. That's more, that'd be great if we could, because a lot of these marketing plans and mindset in marketing is to, you know, get into the insurance program, and that would be a healthy, healthy bottom line if we are able to lock that in. Because when you do the math on your cost of production, not everybody's the same. These are still very profitable levels up here.
Right, and if we were to have that, that would mean that 100 million corn acres would be in sight if we were that high, or is it still the 96, 97 in your mind?
I think we're in between there. I feel at these price levels, there's not going to be any ground not planted unless we run into a very wet situation somewhere in the U.S. I believe every tillable acre is going to be put into some type of crop. I feel the corn acres could be closer to this 98, 99 million acre level.
That is a lot of corn acres. Will bean acres be down where they were last year?
I think they're going to be higher. I think we're going to have a huge amount of double crop acres to add a little bit to that. I think acres in total are going to be higher at the expense of cotton, at the expense of hay, some of these other crops in general. I believe producers are going to be aggressive putting some type of corn or beans into the ground this spring, barring no weather disruption somewhere.
Cattle on feed numbers from Friday were touted as bullish, and that's the way they showed up in the market today.
Yeah, we saw some enthusiasm from those numbers. It continues to confirm we have tight supplies. Also, to add a little fuel on the fire, you know, Japan's expanding the meat cattle is going to be imported into their country, so that added some buying enthusiasm. That's probably the most bullish thing right there, is because when you look at the tight production, tight numbers we have, and the per capita consumption that's been just dropping like a rock over the few years in the U.S., that export market is sort of the gravy here, and that's what's sort of fueling the buying interest and should fuel the cattle market another $4 to $6 higher here over time.
Yeah, what was good for the cattle market, on the other hand, is suggesting that there won't be that many and fewer calves to feed than maybe some had hoped for, or at least compared to last year.
Yeah, and you can get into debate on total tonnage, you know, feeding maybe to higher weights and so forth. But for the most part, overall numbers are going to remain tight. And for us in agriculture, we know better because we know the expansion cycle of the cattle versus the hogs, the chicken, or even the rabbits.
All right. Or even the rabbits. Thank you so much. I appreciate
Take it. Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon.